One, two, three. The following is an unrehearsed interview with Arthur Cash by Mark S. Wilburn for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted in Campden, Wolfe County, Kentucky on July 18, 1978 at 2 p.m. First is, tell me something a little bit about yourself, your family background, and where you were born. And
Just say you asked me questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was born here in Wolfe County, Kentucky. Now what else you want to know?
Go ahead. Well, what was your thing? What did your father and mother do?
My dad was a farmer and a merchant.
Uh-huh.
He had a store over a country store then.
Oh, really?
And he was a school teacher, too, in his early days.
Was he?
And then I was born here in Wolfe County in 1889.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to school to Hazel Green.
Did you?
And then I taught school 13 years, and I got married to my wife, was Emmy Wells. And we were both teachers.
Oh,
and we both didn't make $100 a month then. $46 a piece, you know.
Can you recall the first year that you started teaching?
In 1908. I started teaching in 1908.
Hmm.
And I taught 13 schools, and then I got me a job called as drummers then with Brian Goodwin and Hunt, wholesale grocery in Lexington, Kentucky.
I see.
And I worked 13 years for them, horseback it all through here in the mountains, you know.
Huh.
I went over through Wolfe County, Brazos County, and McGoffin County, Menifee, Lee County. And that about my part of Montgomery. Yeah.
I see. That's quite a big area to cover by horseback.
Horseback at then.
Yeah.
1933, we began to get a few cars.
Hmm.
And a lot of the merchants had bought them these little pickup trucks, you know.
Uh-huh.
And in them days, merchants, my daddy used to buy chickens and buy eggs and take cattle to market. And now over at Hazel Green, I know there's some merchants over there I used to sell groceries to, and they'd take their cattle and their eggs and their chickens to Mount Sterling or Winchester to the market and sell them and go to the wholesale grocery store and bring their groceries home and save them freight, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that was 1933.
Ooh.
And then I run for circuit court clerk in 1933 while I was still on the road then, and I was elected. Then I quit the road, and I was circuit clerk here in Wolfe County for 30 years.
Mm.
I won it every time.
How long is one term?
6 years. A circuit clerk is a 6-year term.
Yeah, that's a 6-year term.
I had run five times, and that 5-6 had made 30. Then I had a farm on Stillwater. I had my dad's old farm. I brought my brothers and sisters out, and then I lived over there.
Uh-huh.
The last 20 years as clerk, I lived over there. The first 10 years, it was a bad road. I couldn't hardly make it.
Right.
And I lived over there, and I retired. I was 74 years old. Poor Judge Turner Jackson, he was a circuit judge. The last one of my circuit judges, and he begged me to run. He'd come down and he'd say, Arthur, run one more time with me.
Really?
But I was 74 years old, and 6 more years, I'd have been 80.
Yeah.
And my dad and mother, neither one lived to be 80, and I thought, well, I won't neither. And I'd been tied up most of all my time, and I just didn't run.
Yeah.
But then 19 and... Then I retired then, and I stayed over on the farm till 1968. And I sold my farm out, and I'd bought me a place over here and had a house built, and I'd rented it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I moved over here at Campton in 1968.
Oh.
That'll be 10 years now.
Yeah.
The 20th day of September. Be 20, be 10 years. Yes. I said it wrong.
Yeah. I want to take you back a little bit to, you say you taught school for a while?
Yeah, 13 years.
You taught school for 13 years?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to talk about what school was like then.
Just little country schools out here, you know, just the country schools. And
yeah, but were they one room?
Yeah, just one room.
One room.
Yeah, and a few of them old schoolhouses. The first one I went to, we used to live down below Hazel Green, mm-hmm. and that dad sold out and bought a farm over here on Stillwater, at Landsaw they called it. And I went to school in 1904, the first school after we moved here. And that old schoolhouse is standing over on Stillwater now. John Stone owns the farm,
right?
And that old schoolhouse is still down
there. Is it still there?
Yeah, he puts hay in it now.
Oh, is that right? Did you have to travel to different schools, or did you teach in one?
No, different schools.
You went to the different ones?
Yeah, I taught, I don't know whether I can name them all or not. First one I taught was called Public Square down below Hazel Green. That's where I went to school when I was a little kid. And the next one I taught was at Valeri.
Valeri.
Down here it is in Wolf County. Uh-huh. Valeri, that was the post office.
Mm.
That was 1909. Mm. And then 1910, I don't think I got a school that year. And I was 21 years old that year, and I took off and went to Illinois and visited a while.
Did
got
you?
A lot of cousins and a lot of my mother's people lives in Illinois.
Did they pay you according to how many students you had, or did they pay you a set salary?
They just paid me so much a month.
No matter how many students you had?
Don't matter how many I had. I had a few big schools. I know I'd have some of my older children that were pretty good scholars to help me on the ABCs and things like that.
Yeah.
On Gilmore. I taught two schools on Gilmore. I taught one there in 1912, and then the same old school. I went back in 1914 and taught the same old school at Gilmore.
Hmm. I imagine you had to teach a lot of different subjects, didn't you?
Well, you know, just then there's just reading and writing and arithmetic and geography and history and physiology and grammar and things like that. That's about all of it. And then I had the little children, and they'd been to them. I had to try to teach them their ABCs. I had a lot of them up my lap, you know, saying their ABCs. I always liked school. I liked it. I hated to quit it. I mean, when I was on the road and school began to open, and I'd see them schools opening up, and I felt like quitting the road and getting back to school, but I couldn't afford to on account of the money I was making.
Yeah.
After I got started, see, I'd never been out of Wolf County, hardly then. And when I got started, they gave me 10% commission. And the first check I got was a little over $90. Then about the middle of the year, about July, they called me in at Lexington, and I went down there and I'd begin to get acquainted, and I was getting pretty good trade. I didn't know how much I was making, hardly. And they gave me $150 a month, and $1 a day for my horse, and my lodging, my dinner and night lodging, you know. And I worked at that then until I quit the road, 1933.
That must have been tough traveling up. That must have been tough traveling up through those different schools. The roads and everything.
How's what you say?
You had to go to different schools?
Yeah. Some of them I had to ride horseback and board away from home. Them days, you know.
Yeah.
But now you could jump in your car and be to any of them in a few minutes. But I had to board away from home. And we'd always try to manage for my wife to get to school around home somewhere.
Yeah.
She boarded home.
Did she?
Yeah, and I'd have to be gone from Monday morning till Friday night. And then I was gone all my life, nearly. My wife passed away March the 31st, 76. And I living up here by myself. I got a foster daughter. We didn't have any children. We raised four foster children. One of them lives in a trailer right by me. But I don't even cook yet. I never did learn to cook. Then when I was on the road there 13 years, I was gone from Monday morning till Friday night, and a lot of time high water or something, I'd get water bound or wouldn't get in home till Saturday or Sunday.
I imagine the weather had a lot to do with it.
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. I see. But, how long did the school season last usually?
Well, July. It commenced usually about the 7th or 10th of July. And always come out about a few days before Christmas. Just a few days before Christmas.
I see. Not much school during the winter time.
That is all it was. Up to Christmas wasn't much in the winter time. No. December.
Yeah.
I was out a little few days before Christmas.
Were most of the people in this area farmers? And were most of the children children of farmers?
Every one of them.
Almost every one of them?
Every one of them lived in, out there and farmed, and they worked too. Now the kids don't work. They'd get out little kids in the spring of the year and hoe corn on the hill. I have done that.
Yeah.
And I'll thin corn for neighbors for 25 cents a day they give me.
That's something. Was there a superintendent of schools?
Yeah.
Did he travel around and check on you or anything?
He didn't
like that?
Do much. He usually had a man.
Did he?
To come around. I remember one time, one man come into my school, and the first school I taught was down at Public Square. I told you that is where I went to school.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the children already knew me, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they'd call me Arthur. Come in.
Okay, I'll
see
Monday.
Okay.
Thank you.
And they'd all call me Arthur, and I never thought nothing about that, you know. And then I got another school or somewhere where I wasn't knowing too good, just in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And the superintendent sent he's sending a man around then. I hadn't seen him before. He's called Mr. Rowe, Dave Rose.
Uh-huh.
Sent him around and... to give little talks, and he never had went to school none. But anyway, he heard the children calling me Arthur, and he got after me about that.
He didn't like
it. I know that embarrassed me.
Yeah.
And I was ashamed of myself then, but I let it go, and he told them to call me Mr. Cash, and some of them got to call me Mr. Cash. But the next time I'd teach a school out somewhere, I'd just write up on the board, I'd say, my name is Mr. Cash. And I'd get them started. They didn't know my name, and they'd...
Yeah, good.
And then they'd call me Mr. Cash. Yeah, I never will forget that. That kind of embarrassed me. I didn't think it was any of his business what to call me.
Yeah. As long as you got your job done, difference does it make?
Yeah, and I was ashamed to tell them to call me Mr. Cash. Nobody called me Mr. Cash then. Everybody called me Arthur. That's my name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Do you remember what it was like during the war, especially like World War One?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah.
I was in World War One.
Were you?
Yeah. I went in the Army in the early part of 1918.
Had you just joined up?
I volunteered. I was over at Campton one day. There was five of us. There's me and Jim Brown and Jim Lee at Lee City and Perry Swango at Hazel Green and Marion Horton at Campton. We were young and all married and had no children.
Huh.
And poor Bill Smith, he used to be an officer. He used to be circuit clerk. He was circuit clerk when I was elected.
Oh, was he?
And he was, in the Army. He's tending to that, getting volunteers and getting people. He's tending to that.
Yeah.
And so one day we was over here, had just happened to be over here for something other, and he was wanting volunteers. And see, we were all married, but we didn't have any children.
Right.
And it'd been a bothering me all the time. I didn't know I'd teach school. Maybe I'd be called off the Army.
Yeah.
So we did volunteer.
Oh.
And I went We all got kind of separated when we got in the Army, but right. me and Marion Harton happened to be together, mm-hmm. and we landed over in Brest, France, on the 9th night of November, and on the 11th day of November, the armistice was signed.
Is that right?
I never will forget that. There's always a lot of soldiers. You can tell Americans by our uniform.
Right.
There's that this full of soldiers, way out all around, soldiers.
Huh.
And that day, November the 11th, them old women, the French women, they was out of swinging little flags. They wasn't no bigger than that, little American flags.
Yeah.
And a crying and a going on, we didn't know. We thought that they was just tickled because there's so many soldiers over there fighting for them.
Right. Right.
And went on to 3 or 4 days and found out the armistice was signed.
Oh, you got
and
there just in time.
Then I got back, that was November, and then I got back in the next year, 1919. I joined the Army in 1918, and then I got back in 1919, early enough to get me another school that year. Yeah, and I taught that school 1919 up on the Baptist Fork of Stillwater. That's the post office. Roscoe Wells had to put up a store there, and there's an old Baptist church there, and they named the post office Baptist.
Hmm.
And it used to be called a Swango Fork. My mother was a Swango, and that Fork of Stillwater was full of Swangos, her uncles.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I taught that school in 1919.
What about, I like to always ask people about the Depression years, the Great Depression, and what that was like during that time.
You know, times were hard, and it's all time hard, and that depression didn't affect me much.
It
was always used to working a hard time, and then I had happy pappy fellas, they called them out around, and I know one time Harrison Tackett had a store up the road, and we was out hunting, and my dad had a store too, but we run out some shotgun sales, we stopped in there and get us some shotgun sales. And he said, "Now don't shoot at anything sitting." I said, "Why?" He said, "It might be a happy pappy fella."
Did it hit the people pretty hard? I mean, did you see a lot of people out of work?
Well, a lot of people was out of work, but not too many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then people farmed and had a lot of tenants.
Yeah.
My dad owned a whole lot of land. I remember one time he had 13 tenants on the farm. And they worked, their house rent didn't cost them nothing.
Yeah.
And Dad had to furnish the teams for the crop with, furnish the plows and the tools, and to furnish the pasture for their cows.
Mm.
And they lived pretty good and had their big fat hogs to kill.
Yeah.
I know me and Otis, my brother, he got killed in a car wreck later, but they sometimes we'd eat dinner with them. And they just have as good a dinner as anybody. I remember Uncle Hen Dalton. We called him Uncle Hen, and his wife was Aunt Sari. She was full of fun. And they had chickens and had eggs, and they had everything to eat that anybody else did. And she'd fry me and Otis, me and brother, she'd fry us egg and wouldn't fry none of the rest of them egg. And that'd tickle us.
What were you doing during the Great Depression? You were working as, were you circuit? Or were you clerk then?
How long did that depression last? I forgot. I started clerk in 1934.
Did you?
Office. Yeah.
I see. So
it was getting over a little bit then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I forgot it. I did about it, but I remember it. And remember calling them Happy Pappies. And they just worked around, but they lived good. They lived good then, now. When there was tenants, you know.
Yeah.
And they worked for Dad. I remember they just got 50 cents a day.
Yeah.
But see, they was getting their house rent. He had to furnish the mules and everything and it was hard. Everybody was, in a way, was doing pretty But my dad had a store, and he had his farm.
Oh.
And he kept buying land, and he had cattle, and everybody, and he let lots of people take the cows to his cow and milk them. And then maybe he'd keep her a while, and she brought a calf. They'd bring the calf home to Dad. He'd get to sell the calf.
Yeah.
That's... And I think people lived about as good then. Now, you know how it is now.
Yeah.
And you can't get nobody. I sold my farm over there. You can't get nobody to do a thing. Used to, Pete, your neighbors would come in and help you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to ask them a lot of times.
Right.
But now then, you can't. It takes a big pile of money to get a fella to work all day, and then he won't work.
That's right.
And these boys, young fellas growing up now, I'll bet you a lot of them that's grown up now couldn't harness a mule and hitch him into a plow, a rod, or plow with it.
Yeah.
And they don't have, so many people don't have cows to milk.
No.
They could have a cow to milk, and if they'd work and had something to feed her, but they get this money on the Happy Pappy, and you know they ain't doing much at that.
Yeah.
Around here, I know they've got it, and I know some of these fellas, and I like them, but they just mess around. They don't get out to work much. They just messing around, having a good time, laughing about it.
Have a lot of people, a lot of people moved from their farms and moved north, or that you have seen, or have most people stayed right here?
Well, there's some of them stayed here. I know some of the boys I used to. Their dads used to be tenants on my dad. Some of them stayed here then and owned their home and done their own farming here. Then there's lots of them went off and got work in factories and places, you know, and done things like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them owned their homes and doing good. I know some of them.
Mm.
And then I know some of them that still don't have nothing. That's, you know how people are.
But you say you were county clerk? Is that
Circuit court clerk. Circuit court clerk.
Did anybody run against you?
One time I didn't have any opposition.
Is that right?
Yeah, one time I didn't have any opposition, but the other four times I did, but I won.
what were elections like in the earlier times? Like maybe the first couple times you run, is it different then as than it is now? Or
well, I don't know. I guess it is. But now, when I first run, I never been out much. I hadn't been out all over Wolf County much. When I first run, I just got out and went to different homes and told them who I was and what I wanted. And, you know, I had me a little car then, a little old two-door sedan.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd have to ride my horse sometimes and get in the hills a little bit and around.
Yeah.
And I never put up a penny. I didn't have the money, and I never put up a penny and asked nobody to vote for me. I just get out and see him. I remember one fellow named Watkins. I was riding horseback, and he was hoeing corn over here on Holly up on the hill.
Uh-huh.
I hit some horse and walked up there to see him. And I didn't know his name then. I found out it was a Mr. Watkins, but they didn't know his given name. I went up there and told him who it was, and I wanted him to vote for me as circuit court clerk.
Mm.
Well, he said, "I sure will." I said, "A fella that'll get off his horse and walk up this hill to see me and want me to vote for him, I sure will." And he always told me he voted for me every time, and I bet he did.
Yeah.
Poor fella's dead now, but I never did forget that. Then one day back here, back towards the Catabooze here, there's an old woman called her Aunt Catty Perry. I didn't know her. And I was riding along, and she's out in the garden. It was up 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. She's out in the garden, hoeing her garden. And I got down, hitched my horse, and walked in the garden and told her who I was and what I wanted. And she is a funny old woman. She says, "Well, now, if you want me to vote for you," said, "you get that hoe over and help me hoe this garden." And I did. I did. I helped her hoe it. It didn't take us too long. We hoed it out. And you know that poor woman, she's dead too now, but she always told me, She said, I voted for you every time because you helped me hold my garden.
Yeah.
And I bet she did.
Yeah, I bet she did. Somebody must have. You got elected all those times. But is this county mostly, what is this, Republican or Democratic?
Huh?
Is this county Republican or Democrat county most of?
It's Democrat.
Is it mostly Democrat?
Yeah, it used to be, and I believe it is. I don't keep up the politics like it used to.
Good.
You know, but I think it's Democratic, yeah. More Democrats than are Republicans.
Yeah. So some counties are different. You never know from which county, Democrat and which one's Republican.
That's right.
No, Lee County's pretty much Republican.
Yeah,
over there.
I think it's Republican.
Yeah. Did you see a big, I guess the railroad was pretty big then, wasn't
back
it?
Back then, yeah. And back then, they had a railroad. My dad used to, had to haul good some torn.
Mm-hmm.
It'd take 2 days to go down there and come back.
Hmm.
We'd have to go down there and load up and come back up on that old hill and lay out of the night and take our supper with us and take our meals with us and take our hay and feed our mules.
Yeah.
Next day, sometimes we'd get in by noon or 1 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then they had built a little road up here at Campton called the Dinky.
Oh.
And it stayed up here a while.
Really?
It didn't stay too long. Mm-hmm.
No. When did they start building the roads back in here where, I guess when the car came?
These good roads?
Yeah, the good roads.
I can't tell you the date. Let's see, I was elected clerk in 1934. And there wasn't no road through here then. Right along just after that time.
I guess when
they commenced building what they call over 15 through here.
Oh.
And went through here and went up over Stillwater and went to Jackson.
I guess that's when people got more and more cars.
Oh yeah, they began to get more cars.
Yeah.
Now everybody's got two or three cars.
Yeah. Can you remember the first car you got?
Yeah, little T model, cost me $404.
Did it?
Yeah, I bought it from Bill Lacey over at not Bill Lacey, he runs that garage over there, Doris Rose. He run it, he used to be run the bank over there, and that bank went broke.
Did it?
Yeah, and I bought that at $404, and had to crank it, just one seat, you know.
Yeah.
And took me all day. It took you all day to drive to Stanton. You know where Stanton is.
Yeah.
It ain't very far.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had my wife's sister and her husband lived at Stanton, Charlie Baker, and he's in the oil business. He wanted me to bring my wife and my wife's mother, come down some Friday and let's fish a Saturday and we'd come home a Sunday.
Oh.
Well, I went, she lived up Stillwater there where I told you, where the Baptist post office. We left home, went up there one morning, got her, and it took us all day to drive to get to Stanton. I had a little half a gallon bucket I'd have to, and then the creeks run across the road, you know, like they used to. I'd have to get down and fill my radiator up.
Is that right?
Yeah. And we went a fishing on a Saturday and had a good time, and then Sunday morning we started back early in.
How long did a car last you then? How long did that car last?
Oh, I had that thing a long time. It's still good. I didn't drive it much, you know.
Yeah.
Just drive it a little around home, just like on Sunday, like just for fun, maybe.
Yeah. Well, could the car make it up around the roads and everything pretty well?
Or? Do pretty good,
yeah.
You know, if it wasn't too muddy. But you know, there's always muddy, and in them days, there's ditches in the road, and maybe a creek across the road, and that'd make it bad on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it ever break down on you in the middle of nowhere?
I never did have one to break down on me.
Never did?
Never did.
But where'd they hit the gas and things at?
Well, now, I remember when cars first come, my dad had a store where it called the post office Landsall in Stillwater.
Uh-huh.
And he ordered, I don't know where he got it.
Yeah.
But he'd get it in big barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it in big barrels, and if you come in wanting gas, he'd have to turn a little hook down here and turn it off of that big barrel.
Huh.
And one of them big barrels lasts a long time full of gas in.
Yeah. If you had to think of the biggest change that you've seen over the years, if you had to think of one single thing that you would say is the biggest change that's happened in this county, what would that be?
The biggest change?
Yeah.
Biggest change that's happened?
Yeah. Anything?
Well, I couldn't tell you, hardly. It all come along slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think people are any different now than they were then?
Think they're different?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
In a way, they are.
Yeah.
I know all these people. I've got a lot of kinfolk here, and they're all good people. But in a way, now back in the early days, we didn't have no trouble getting help or something like that.
Yeah.
But now you can't hardly get nobody, even your kinfolk.
Yeah.
You can't hardly get nobody to do a thing for you, and if you do, boy, it costs you.
Does it seem like they worked harder? Had to work harder then than they do now?
Yeah, they worked harder.
Yeah.
They got out and worked.
Yeah.
And now kids don't work. I've got two grandchildren up here, foster grandchildren. One of them's 16, one's 14, the girl's 16, the boy 14. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get out and harness a mule or take a corn planter and plant corn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot, when I was a little boy, Dad cut the top off this little high, you know.
Yeah.
And me and Otis, my brother, Dad get out and lay corn out and lay off corn. You never do see hills in corn anymore like you used to.
Yeah.
And me and Otis, we could keep up with him laying it off. A grown man used to could keep up, but now us two boys, we'd start at one end and one at the other, and when we'd meet, we'd sort of get up the next row, you know. And we could keep up with Dad laying off.
They used to plant corn on the hills, side of hills,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore, do you?
You never do see it anymore.
What happened to all those farms up in there?
Well, they've usually got them in grass. Them hills in grass. Or some of them had pines set out all over them, you know. Pines. I just know a lot of hills around that's been set out with pines all the way up. And are growing more timber.
Did people just leave their farms? Did they leave their farms?
Some of them sold out and left, you know.
Did they?
That's the reason that some people got so much land. They bought so many of these. And then a lot of these fellas that we called tenants then, their boys, their children, their dads is dead, all them by that time, you know. That's been a little while back.
Yeah.
But then their boys, a lot of them, went here and yonder and got them job in factories, and some of them owns their home, and some of them don't have nothing yet. I know a lot of them.
But they... One more thing. Let's see how I put this. But when did you see the schools? You taught for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You said you taught for 13 years.
Yeah.
When did they start getting some money for the schools? Start building up the schools. You see a big improvement there?
Yeah, there's an improvement there. I don't know what year that is, but you see they quit having all these, what they call the country schools.
Yeah.
You have all the schools. We've got several big school buildings built here in Campton.
Yeah.
And now the buses all over the country.
Yeah.
And see, that must have started about... I bought my brother and sister out on my dad's farm and moved on it in 1944.
Mm.
And we raised four foster children, one boy and three girls. And it wasn't long from about 1944.
Yeah.
Till they was riding the bus.
Oh.
Riding the bus. to Campton or to Hazel Green, you know.
Yeah.
Catch the bus.
I see.
Now see, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say exactly what.
That's okay.
But that was close to about 1944.
Is that right?
Because our kids, you know, they'd have to get up and get out there and catch the bus. And I know the up Lansaw is the road up Lansaw, and them children up Lansaw, it's about a mile or a mile and a half long up Lansaw, and then you turn over and go down to Hazelwood. But them children up there had to walk down here to where we lived to catch the bus.
Mm.
And a lot of times they'd come down early, and neighbors' children up there, and be girls, and maybe they'd get muddy, they'd have muddy feet, and they'd have to come in, and they'd clean themselves up a little at our house.
Yeah.
And then we'd get out there and get the bus.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say it wasn't far from 1944. I wouldn't say exactly.
Do you see Campton as staying pretty much the same, or is it growing?
Well, now, Campton's growing in a way, but it seemed like in one way it's not getting any bigger.
Yeah.
Now, some town that I know of is more houses in them, getting bigger.
Right.
But Campton, they got no... Yeah, we've got one factory here in Campton.
Uh-huh.
But some of these towns is getting these factories, you know, and that...
Yeah.
And people moves in and builds them a house and works in the factory. And I saw in the paper the other day where West Liberty, they're trying to buy some land over there, gonna buy land and have a factory in there, it said, to make repairs for these old coal trucks that's hauling coal, you know, take care of that. Seemed like Campton's not been lucky about getting a factory. Campton's a good little old town, good people here in Campton. Some bad ones. You heard about that deputy sheriff getting shot the other night, didn't you hear it?
I think I did, yeah.
Shot him right through the window, like, right at the corner of the window there. It's up here, you can see it. There's a bullet hole right there, and it's about that big, and right around it is shattered. But it's just, the glass is still there, but it's just shattered. You can look and kill that poor fella in there. And that little old boy was raised right over on Stillwater, right across the bottom from where we lived. We can see his house. Little bean boy. His daddy was a good fella, and his grandpa, Hilt Dean, was an old school teacher. I don't know whatever got into him to do a trick like that.
Well, I can't think of anything else to ask you, but I have some